At this moment, we're going to invite our panelists over to the stage. Can we please have Pastor Tolani over? Praise the Lord. Pastor Jose and Sister Andrea over, please. Can we have Pastor Moriah, please? And can we please have Auntie Duni, please? Thank you. A round of applause for our panelists.
Amen.
Okay, so at this point, we've got some questions in this basket, which we're going to pick at random. And then our panelists are please going to help us answer these questions. Amen? Okay, so our first question, Sister Tuli will please pick for us and then read a question out to us, please.
How far should I contribute financially as a woman while we are dating? Should I go 50-50, let him take the lead, for example, in paying for meals and maybe holidays?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's our question. It says, how far should I contribute financially as a woman while we're dating? Should I go 50-50, let him take the lead in, for example, paying for meals and maybe going on holidays? Or should I even contribute financially?
Yeah. I'm really worried about the question, because in the first instance, when you are dating, should you go on holidays together? So I think that probably violates mommy's rules that she set when she was talking at the beginning. So I think I'll drop that out of the equation. But I'll now concentrate on the other part of the equation, because that becomes relevant. Now, whether you are dating or you are in marriage, I think contribution should be as you have. Because I will use myself as an example. When I was in Nigeria with my wife as a lawyer, even when she was doing her PhD in the university, all I wanted to do was give her a level of comfort in school. So everything that was in our room, I bought. I bought her a refrigerator, bought her everything to make her life comfortable. But I could afford it. And that's why I did it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I also loved her. And then, of course, she was working. Every suit I had as a lawyer, I would sew the same for her. I got a car because of her. That was when we had Esther. And I knew that she needed to go for all this immunization and all those stuff. And I was company secretary, legal advisor to what was called Dia Fatimile & Co. It's still there in Nigeria. And I didn't want my work to be disturbed. So I got a car because of her. And I also released my driver to drive her around. But when I moved to Belgium, I wasn't working. And she was the one that was working. And every time she collected her paycheck, she would write what she would give me first. So if you see the home as home to both of you, whether when you are courting or you are married, and let me make this clear, if that fundamental was not resolved before you got into the marriage, it will never be resolved. And it will, so if you make whatever you have to be yours together, I mean, we have a house in Banbury that we bought when we first got to the UK. The circumstances of buying that house meant that the house should be in her name. And up to today, the house is still in her name. And I'm not bothered about it. So if you see yourself as one and everything is one, this mathematics about 50%, and 70%. To be very honest, in our home, it's so interesting. I think you see me on our street. I do a lot of grocery. In fact, the brother who works at Co-op knows that I'm there almost every day to buy different things. And it's so interesting that after I bought my grocery, my wife will come back also and buy hers and buy exactly what I bought again. in the home. So it's some people, I even want to go above myself. Some people talk about maybe there is joint account or no joint account. Once you have understanding, these issues will never matter. And you will see the home will work seamlessly without being mathematical. Whoever has, if you know, how did the church start? Everybody had everything in common. And it was used for the benefit of all. Praise the Lord. So for me, whether when you are courting or fast forward to when the relationship is on as a marriage, if you know how to do things together, things will work seamlessly. Praise the Lord.
Any other thoughts?
Same thoughts. Yeah, because for me, I like giving. Giving is not my problem. So if we are going to eat or something, or just having, I might decide to pay if I have that money. And if I want him to take the lead as a man, then sometimes I just want to do it because probably I have extra. Like when we started dating, I had more money as a student because I was the last child. So basically, there was nobody else collecting money from my own parents. It was one of many. So I had more chances of getting more things from home. So we'll share it. But along the way, he graduated before me. He came into England. He started working. He was sending me money. So I didn't need to contribute more to the relationship. But then when I had the chance, I did my part. And now he's working. He's built almost the same thing. There were years I would be pregnant or maybe nursing and I can't work at all. He's the only one doing it. There are sometimes it's hard to stay at home while I'm the one working. But if you're like very stiff from the beginning, you'd probably be having problems along the line. So I think just balance it.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Any other different thoughts?
Yeah. The Bible say in Mark, the people leave your mom and your father and go and habitate and just one flesh. Yeah. Why the money? It's a different. My money is my money. Jose money. Why? It's not good, because in my experience, in me and my husband, the money is all together. We pay the rent, we pay the food, we pay the holiday. We, together. The Bible say, just one flesh. It's not different for money, for children, for everything. Now we cohabitate and we live all together, the money, the problem, everything. Why different the money now? In Brazil, I have one brother-in-law. When she's married, the woman said, my mom and my father give me everything. And I don't marry for work and don't marry for my husband need give me everything, and it's not good. Now it's this couple this have divorce because she has one mind very bad. Yeah, We you need to pay the rent, we need to pay the food, we need to pay, his need to pay, not me. You understand? It's not the Bible say.
Thank you very much. Our next question, which I'm opening. How long should I date before marriage? How long? Is there a time limit on it? Or is it depending on both parties? How long should I date before marriage?
No one can say exactly how long. And what I mean is that we can't say 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. There's no prescription to say this is how it should be. You can date, or we call it being engaged, which is changed now. You call it dating. You can it can be as long as God wants it to be. For me, I had short engagement. It was not as if I planned it to be like that, because I would have loved that. Oh, maybe 4 years, 5 years. But no, what I mean is that if I got engaged earlier, what I'm trying to say is that for some who found each other maybe while they were in uni or even some secondary school, so you can be talking about years. I have a friend who was engaged for 10 years before she eventually got married, because they found each other when they were young. So that's what I'm trying to say. But one of the things that is very important is friendship first. When I was thinking about this program yesterday, I didn't even know I was going to be part of the panel. The word that came to me is friendship. And when I opened my mail and I saw an email that pastor sent to us about Mahaba, and I saw friendship first, I said, God, you are wonderful. You have to be friend with that person before you get into marriage. So it depends on how long, and it depends on God's plan for you. The fact that you are now so much of marriageable age and you are maybe advancing age, you think, oh, maybe 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, you might not even be ready. So it depends on the plan of God for you. But friendship first. Don't be, I know as women, we are so particular about men coming to us and just telling us, are you the, as in, I want to marry you. Don't let that be the first. Friendship first. Give room for being a friend to that person. And that is very important, because along the way, you don't even know, maybe that person just wants to be a friend to you or with you. And then along the way, we now say, oh, I want, I want to have a relationship with you. And I think that's what happened to me personally, actually. The first day my husband saw me, he said he just wanted to be friends to me. And I was not taking it that way, because it was that stage in my life where I would say I was hardened. I didn't want anything. Why? Because I've gone through that stage of being anxious, and anyone that comes then, even when they say before they say love, you don't even know whether it's I lost you or whatsoever they want to say. Immediately you jump. So I've had that. And I didn't want that. I've had someone like maybe 5 years saying, no one but you. So, which, no one but you. Especially if you are already thinking, oh, maybe that is the one. So, you take that to heart. Within months, when the person saw the person he wanted to marry, he went to that person and proposed formally. Do you understand what I'm saying? He went and proposed formally. So, don't go with no one but you, or I love you, or this and that. Just stay, and God will make everything work out. So when my husband said, what's my name? I said Ayo, because I didn't want him to know my full name. I wasn't ready for that. I didn't want friendship now. All I wanted was what? Are you the one or should we wait for another? Yes, because I didn't want to be tossed around. I didn't want that at all. So some of us here might be in that stage where you don't want to be tossed around. But I think by now, God is just trying to tell us, it might be just for one person or two, be friendship first. That brother that is showing interest, that's the brother. You don't know, but allow that friendship first, and God will direct you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think my I completely agree with you, man. There is no prescription. There is no manual. But there are just two things I would say. First is, allow room to even understand this person. The time you should have must be one that will give you room to know the person so that you are not marrying a complete stranger. There are too many people who rushed and they rushed too soon without really knowing. And we always say it's better to have failed courtship than to have failed marriage. And during that period, in fact, for me now, I say marriage is not prayer meeting. No. It's not prayer meeting. It's not church fellowship. You just have to live your life with this person. And compatibility is key. Like that lady who walked away, thank God for the words of wisdom from our sister there. This lady might help mold the man. But there are some people, they are just dried fish. You can't mold them. So the best thing will probably be to leave them. So on one hand, allow room to know this person. On the other hand, don't tarry too long to start giving room for what you shouldn't be doing. So if you can situate it in between the two, I think you'll be right. I love to be practical. Mine was 4.5 years. But we were not in the same place for the whole period. We were always in different places, schooling, doing youth service, and so on and so forth. So we hardly saw each other. But by the time we thought we were ready, then we decided it's time to get married. And also, using our own example, even when we got married, I think I wasn't ready. Because she was doing her PhD, and my thought was, I don't like distractions. Let her finish her PhD. But we now started getting all sorts of pressure from everywhere. Oh, is this guy really serious? Will he marry you? So I now came to a compromise. Okay, why did I even not want the marriage? I don't want children to divert her attention. So let's have the marriage, but we'll delay childbearing. So that becomes a compromise. And that was what we did. So it has to be, put your circumstances in life into question, as the issue. Put your state of finance into the equation. Are you emotionally, are you financially, are you spiritually ready after looking after yourself to look after another person? And probably some other person that will rear their head. So those are all the things you need to put. And don't use other people's timing. Because as I always say, God has a purpose for every human being. And we are not all the same. So thank you. That would be my answer.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question. How can I be sure that he loves me as Christ loves the church? What are the signs to tell? Are there any signs to tell?
When you are already married or
no, courting, dating.
Okay, my answer is this. How did we know that Christ loved the church? Is he an emotional thing? No. Christ sacrificed. He sacrificed. He went out of his own way to die for our sins. And he reverenced his Father in holy fear. So, how do I know he loves me? Is he ready to make sacrifices for me? Is this somebody that is... I'll say to you, I love corporate world. I love market. When I met my wife, she was finishing in the university, and immediately she was to do her master's, and she was doing pharmaceutical microbiology. So for me, I wanted this lady, Porsche, you know, in the boardroom. You know, that was what I wanted. And then she finished the master, and she said she wanted to do PhD. I said, PhD. I mean, she'll be in academics. Those poor people. You know, so, but she said that was what she wanted. And I remember what I told her. And this is very important. I said, God has not made me meet you for you not to realize your vision. Rather, God made me meet you to achieve your purpose. And anything that will make you achieve it, I will do it. And that was the reason that I said, okay, since she wants to stay in one little room in the university, let me equip the whole room with whatever can make her life better. So, the level of sacrifice that you are able to make, even before courtship, and also within the marriage, is critical. And that's why you know somebody loves me if he's ready. Christ made the sacrifice with his life. And that's why we know he loves us. And he's going to, and he also loves us unconditionally. So if somebody loves you unconditionally, then you know this is a pure and a genuine love. So those are the things I would like. We both travel a lot. She came back from Kenya. She was supposed to actually move from Kenya to Ethiopia. That's why she was not supposed to be here. But, guys, if I don't know how to cook, I would have died. if you're just my friend and you come to my home, you will know that whether she's in or not, the place is sparkling clean. Thank you. Because I do the cleaning. I love things clean and sparkling. And if I do, my position is not to, you know, some of the things, I know I'm talking too much now, but I know it will bless you. Amen. Yeah. And it's a shame many men are not here. I say something. The time I will spend cleaning the floor is actually less than the time I will spend fighting. Because to clean the floor will probably take me 30 minutes. But let's analyze it. To fight, to bicker, takes about 2-3 days. Huh? Because I'm a little bit wise, I go for what is quicker. Thank you, ma. And so I go for what is, well, I can just quickly do it and everybody is happy. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't winch. Don't just do it. Get it done. And that's part of the sacrifice to show that you love. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I also want to add that part of the sacrifice that a man should do is to like what you like. And one thing that is very major in your life is where you are coming from. I mean your family. I was once in a relationship. It didn't last long, for maybe 2-3 months. In fact, it was that relationship that I was in before I came into UK. And every time I make attempt to say, you've come to say you want to marry me and we've started, you call it dating, but we say you were engaged. I would like to know your family. So like twice I tried to do it. The first time, he just came up with something else that made me not to visit him in where he lives, in his house, to know his family members. And another time again, I don't know whether he feigned that he was sick. And I said, oh, I needed to come and see where you live, where your parents, your siblings. It just did not happen again. So watch it when someone is trying to hide you away from his friend, his or her friends or family members, because if you must enter into that relationship that will lead to marriage and to that will be a good one, you need to like what each other like, and you need to be interested in people's family. And I'm just so grateful to God because God did that for me. Recently, I was just thinking about it. Every member of my family that my husband come in contact with, he's gone the extra mile that they keep talking about him in America, Africa. And one time I just sat down and said, is it because of my family that God gave me? Because it was just beyond me. He's always going that extra mile. So it's part of it. You want to know whether a man loves you. Does the person love your mother, your father, your siblings, or the person sees and say, oh, that's not what I want. So it's also very important.
Our next question, praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Next question is, at what point should a woman submit and at what point should a man love? Because we say charity begins from home. So if charity begins from home, then that means something must start early before marriage. So at what point should we submit? At what point should we love?
Submission. I think submission is after marriage, but love should be right from the beginning. Submission means you taking that person as your authority. And it's difficult to submit if you don't love someone. Let me start from that. So I think you have to love first. Then the moment you determined or you made up your mind that you're marrying that person, then you learn to submit. Submission is not as easy as submission, especially if you're someone that you are very used to you being independent, and then all of a sudden you have to go into this marriage where you have to submit. But there is no way you submit to someone you don't love. They want you to do something, why would? But you do some things out of love, not because you really want to submit, but because you love that person, you are submitting. And marriage will not work long if as a woman you don't submit. But the first thing I think you should do is to try to love that person genuinely. If you do, I think submission will come naturally. You won't have to force it.
It's like saying, when do you start to eat as human being? Isn't it? Because from the day you were born, you ate. Isn't it? Even if you didn't, you couldn't swallow. You know, I just recognize that many people don't actually know how to swallow. It's so surprising to me. That's something else. But what I'm trying to say is this. I don't think there is a time in your driving that you get to gear submit. I don't think there is anything like that. I think we are magnifying components, yes. We are magnifying components of marriage and the things that should be in marriage by unbundling them. You can't unbundle them. They are all together and they work together. If you cannot, and when we say submission, I've told you the Bible passage that I recognize more is verse 21, which says, submit one to another. So, if that is the yardstick for submission, then don't even go into relationship at all with somebody you can't submit to. And at any event, let's be honest. The issue of submission, I'm in the boardroom. It plays out in the boardroom. It plays out in the church. Isn't it? It plays out in your family. It plays out everywhere. So, if the person you will share intimacy with in your life is somebody you can't submit to, then you've gotten it wrong. So submission, and let me also say, submission is not stupidity. Submission is not also in the Ananias and Sapphira way. If the man is telling you to do what is wrong, you need to be careful to take it to the Lord and ensure that you are not partaker of other man's sin. Did anybody hear that? Yeah. That is very important. So, my short answer is submission must be the foundation of your relationship. It must run through your life. And that is the final thing. And love should also be mutual. I mean, the husband, is husband that is said to love the wife,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, but the wife also will love the husband. So it's mutual. When you see these two working together, they are almost like same, is these twins, what do you call them? Siamese twins that you shouldn't separate. That's my opinion. And that's the way it has worked for us. There are times that my wife takes the initiative. For instance, let me say this about my church. There was somebody who was in my church, and she said, "Ah, Pastor, I know the way you work in your church." I said, "Why? How?" He said, "It's like you are the figurehead president, and your wife is the prime minister." I said, "Okay, that's how you saw it." I said, "Thank God, he's fine with us." So we're happy with it. Praise the Lord, because she takes most of the initiative on a lot of issues, and I just say, "Okay, that's a good idea." As much as other people in the church also take initiative on issues, and I submit to them, regardless of the fact that I'm the pastor, I submit to them, submit to their opinion, submit to their initiative, and I'm still the number one person to implement it. Even when it doesn't come from me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ah, we have a suggestion. The question was, at what point should a woman submit and at what point should a man love? Before.
I said from the beginning, from the moment you decided that this is the person you want to marry or the person you want to spend your life with, there can't be, like I said, there's no time that you have to engage the submission gear. That was my language. And I said it has to be from the beginning. Because if you don't submit one to another, right? Even your marriage, before you organize your marriage, you will fight and fight and fight and fight. Because one person will not submit to the other person. You won't go far. So it has to be from the beginning. But you know, the good thing about it is that because you're already practicing it from the beginning, then it becomes an easy thing that can take you through your life. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, when you're saying beginning, it's better to clarify it. Is it when we're friends or when I propose?
Once you, both of you, I mean, what happens before both of you now agree with the leading of God that you say you want to get married? From that point, although you've not been joined together, you already have a relationship. A relationship has started from that point. And once there is a relationship, is everybody listening to me?
Yeah.
Once there is a relationship, whatever relationship, even not only marriage, whatever relationship, you must respect each other. And I would take submission as also respect. Is that correct? So if you say until you get married, so how do I know you will submit to me when we get married, when you are not submitting to me now that we are courting? How will I know? No, well, we are starting our definition here from courtship. Because if you are just friends without intention of getting married, then there is no relationship. You are just friends. And maybe some things brought you together to be friends. But once you trigger, let me use the language, once you trigger what will lead to a relationship, then the rule of engagement will set in. I call it the rule of engagement. And it has to set in from that point. And if during that time, the rule of engagement is not working, I will say, run away.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our next question.
Sorry. Just to check on submission, we need to clarify the content of what we are submitting to.
Are you with me? Because throughout life, we'll have to learn to submit. Yeah. And like Pastor said, but to what is required of you before marriage? What are you being asked to do before marriage? I'll give an example. When I was courting my husband, he didn't even tell me he wanted to marry me. The family that I was living with, when you go out, you must come home by a certain time. So that influenced the way the places we could go, how far we could go. But he loved to party. So this particular day, he said to me, "We are going to Jebu." I said, "I have to tell them at home." He said, "You know they won't allow you to go. So we are not telling them. We are going." We took this vehicle. We went to Jebu from Abeokuta. Even all the dancing they were dancing there, I was not there. My mind was at home.
Yeah.
Look, when I got home, my uncle brought the koboko. I submitted to him. I didn't submit to them. I was flogged. What are you submitting to? If a man or anyone will lead you to disobey the existing authority over your life, you are going to have problem.
Yes, for the rest of your life.
If the submission is against God, if it's against your parents, it's against your own conviction, you are going to perpetually feel in bondage. Yeah. Are you with me? So what are you submitting to? If the person may come with godly ideas that you never knew, are you with me? And could lead you to Christ. It could lead you to career. Could lead you to personal development. So what are you submitting to? So it's a work that is continuous. You need to clarify in this context, what am I being asked to do? If it's to violate your personal vows, do you really want to do that? If it's to submit to a place where you are at loggerheads with your parents? Do you really want to do that? Is that the type of sacrifice we are asking you to make? So you need to weigh it. But when if you use the word, it's something that is continuous. And like Pastor said, it's one to another. Are you with me? So we need to know what's been asked of us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Next question. How active should I be in the process of finding a spouse? Or should I leave it all up to God? Or you can also share how you met your spouse and how you know that he was the one or she was the one.
I'll just start. I'll say that in my own journey, it was actually yesterday that I broke it down into four stages. The first one is that state where you are carefree. You are not really mindful of the word marriage. Even when people around you, even when I was in uni, you know, people around me, they were getting engaged, but, you know, we were so much just facing the things of God. Even I remember a brother coming to me telling me, oh, don't I notice that the way he looks at me during prayer meeting? I was like, I don't know anything about that. He was supposed to be praying, but I still remember. And he said, oh, I should just do him one favor, even if he proposed and I said no. He said, one favor, just to go and take pictures with him. Well, if they see you take picture, you know, it's not these pictures you take on your phone. You go to a studio, you pose, and then when they see you, say, they are engaged or they are dating, you know, something like that. And I could remember, I said no. A time where you don't really care, you don't talk about it, and that's actually the time you are really supposed to be praying, actually. At the second stage, anxious stage, I've mentioned that anxious stage, when it begins to dawn on you that it's like you are getting older. People are now getting married and you have started attending your friends' weddings, and it's like, oh. And I remember there was one time I saw a magazine, and on the magazine it says, if you are not engaged by maybe 25 or 30, I can't remember, but I was already past that is as if that's the end. I was troubled. Really? So then, if anybody, especially when you are thinking, oh, maybe that's the one, maybe that's the one. If they say, I love, before they say, you would have completed it for them. So you, like a vulnerability time where now you are now anxious and God does not want us to be in that stage. The other stage is hardened state where now you have now fenced yourself. So you are, anybody that comes around you, you don't really, because now you don't want to be what? Broken. One of the questions I said I was going to ask God when I get to heaven in my journey was like, God, I want to ask you, why is it not that brother? I thought I was so convinced. I thought it was that brother, but he did not propose this and that. And before I left, you know, I remember I started going to a church where the man of God was now talking about how his heart, you know, when you say you have, your heart is broken. If it's broken into two, he said it's okay because you can join it together. But as his own heart was broken into peace, not just, it's shattered. So they threw it all over. How do you join it together? But God. And he now started saying, there are some relationship that comes your way. They are scaffolding relationship. They are just there to do something in your life. And after it's done that, it may not necessarily be that you were even in courtship. But like our sister was mentioned something like that, that she had some brothers who came around her and then they sharpened one another. So that's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. And some, it could actually be that you were engaged, but it didn't work out, you know, something like that. So that hardened stage. And then the last stage, which is the stage of now you are relaxed. Be still and know that I am God. The year I got married, I did not say how many months. It was when our pastor mentioned the years that he courted. I was like, oh, I didn't say how many months I courted. It was for 6 months. The year that I got married, remember, I've been planning to get married several years. I've given God ultimatum. It did not work. I've done first quarter. Oh, first quarter, I'll meet the brother. Second quarter, then we'll get engaged. Maybe 6 months, then we walk down the... Actually, I said by age 25, I would have been married and given back to my own, to all the children I want to give. That was my plan. The word of God that God gave to me in that year was that I know the plan that I have for you. I know you have many plans. You've planned them all out. I know the plans that I have for you. The plan to give you a future, hope, an expected end. And that was that time of relaxation. I was relaxed in his arm. God, do with me what only you can do. And when my husband came, he didn't look like the one I was waiting for. But actually, he was actually packaged for me. He was actually packaged for me. I'm a type of person, I like someone to be romantic. So that one that I told you about, we opened the door and then I'll come in. You like it, sister? And I'll cross my leg. I'm sure, Pastor, you did it that to you. But do you know that my husband had lots of romance in him that I did not know? You can't test drive. You need to get into the... I should have worn the wristwatch that he gave me. On the day that I did, I had my birthday, he had proposed, but I had not said yes to him. And that wristwatch is love, love, love all around. I still wear it up to today. So what I'm trying to say is that you get to that stage where you are relaxed in your arms. I know you've got plans, but he has a better plan for you. And our prayer is that you will connect with that man, you will connect with that woman, the bone of your bone, and you will not mismarry.
I still want to go back to the question properly, and that is, to what extent do you go in finding? Sorry, did I get your name?
Irene,
yeah. So is that the question? To what extent do you go?
The question is, to what extent do I go and find the right person?
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to say a lot because she's done a lot of talking. But the truth of the matter is that I think it has to be something between yourself and God leading you. I think that's what I would say to be the answer. But thank God mommy is not here. So I can say this. But I think you still have to find yourself. Isn't it? You have to be the one that finds. You know, we say as a joke, that Adam slept and Eve was presented. So when there was trouble, he said, sir, the woman that you gave me, gave me the fruit to eat, so it's your problem. Sort it out. So since that time, God says, you will go on your own and find. So when you now find, you bring her. So that's why I say it's good she's not here. Because I don't know if it's biblically I don't know if it's biblically correct. But the truth is, now let's look at it. You know the kind of person you will love. Hello? You know the kind of person that you we have attraction for. Is that correct? Because I know you are very spiritual, so you think it's just two spirits getting married. But I don't look at it that way. There are some people, I can't be attracted towards them. And I'm even very terrible in the sense that everybody knows what my choice is. Everybody knows what I like. And what I don't like, people know I don't like it. Praise the Lord. So you must have attraction towards this person. Now, one other question that arises from there. Who is supposed to find? Is it the man or the woman? I think these are practical issues. What if the man is not seeing, is not looking, and the woman is convinced? Should the woman say, madam, I mean, the woman can say, oh God, are you not seeing? So is that permitted? I don't know. But I think. Oh. Because it's part of finding. Because the truth now is, how far should we go in finding? Then we have to segregate it. Is it only the man that should find? Or the woman can also join in finding? And if the woman finds, what does she do with her finding?
Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm really very old-fashioned when it comes to things like that. I think I would rather wait for the man to propose. If I think I have seen and he's not seeing, I'll probably do some things to make him see. How? Okay. Talk to the person more. Like, just let the person notice you in a way. Talk to the person. Offer the person, oh, do you want this? Do you want that? Just bring up a conversation. Be nice to the person. Yeah, make yourself noticed, but don't just go and say, oh, I think I like you. I think that is rather, that will probably bring your bride price. Communicate with the person, be nice to the person, dress good. Try to meet, know that person. Try to let that person know you. But pray about it. Pray about it very well. Because you might just be attracted to the person and the person might not be it. So it's very important you pray. And if you are really convinced that, yes, this is the person. So by the time you are doing all those nice things, that God will make that person to see you too. But not just go, I don't think it's right to go and say, oh, brother, I think I like you. I'm sorry. I know it's cultural, but that's why I said I'm sorry if I think it's wrong.
Actually, it's interesting because some brothers might be put away just because you are flaunting yourself around them. When you said you are convinced, you have to also ask yourself, how did you become convinced? Is it because you naturally like the person, which is okay? Or someone said, oh, both of you are meant for each other. You are like, both of you are made from heaven for each other. Because we have experiences like that too, where your friends see you and say, oh, I've seen both of you. You are meant for each other. I think to me also, I would like the man to come to me.
My question is to the men, for them to answer this question, would you like it if a woman stepped up to you and said, I think I like you? Remember those times when you were single. Was it a put off for you for a girl to come and say it, or did it leave you feeling good and wishing to to establish a relationship with this girl that has been upfront with you?
There's no, women most of the time don't come to men and say, first of all, I will feel shock. But that shock is not a bad shock because, yes, it will give me wings. So I am that fine for her to come to me. And imagine if she's very, very fine as well, that increases in my price. But it's not, we have to move away from culture. If I don't see you in the crowd, and you see something in me that you think you like, let's talk about it. So I don't think it's a problem. So you have a problem.
Okay, hallelujah. Right, for me, I think actually it's a problem. Yeah, why? Because if that's going to work, that would be fantastic. But just imagine a woman, and then the man will just keep a blind eye and say, no, how will you feel? Because it's really, that courage, next time you'll not have it. Because you feel like, oh, my God, I tried it already, and it didn't work. And honestly, it will really, as a woman, but a man, you know, you lift yourself up and you move on to another one.
Why is it different from the man?
This is our last question, by the way. So,
for me, I see nothing wrong in it, but culturally, it's wrong. Maybe we need to educate ourselves more to try and get away from that type of mentality. But for a woman should be courageous to go to a man to say whatever she felt. If the man is now taking courage for stupidity, because she knows what she's doing, we've talked about submission, but knowing the reason why you're submitting. So the fact that you've gone to a man does not mean that the man should take advantage of you. So I think the woman should be encouraged to say whatever she's got in her mind, and women should change that mentality. Aaron.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not married yet, but obviously one day. What I'm thinking is, because I was born in the 20th century, but I grew up in the 21st. So... So basically, everyone there, we're all talking about like cultural stuff, but in the 21st century, it's different because a girl can approach you. Like, I won't say, yeah, maybe one day. So, but I don't think there's nothing wrong about it. It just gives the guy more, what do you call it, more zip, like more courage in saying, yeah, you're not bad. So that's why I think it's totally, it's normal. Like, if she thinks that's what she likes, come get it. Don't just wait there.
Pastor Jose, do you have anything for us? Whilst we're waiting, does anyone has anything else to contribute? Because that's our last question for the day. The question was... who found who? How did you find? How did you know? Anyone?
Praise the Lord. Because mine is a little bit complicated, I just thought I should share. Because just today I was watching There's something called Lasting Love by one lady, Funmi Adeyi. Yeah, so we've been interviewed, and I remember that my wife was sharing how we started. I had a big problem, and the problem was that there were just too many ladies around me. So I was not concentrated, and I wasn't interested. And more so, you know, in those days when we schooled in the university, there were two sets of students that had problems. And they were law students and medical students. Everybody wanted to marry a lawyer or a doctor. Yeah, in those days. So that made me... Yeah, exactly. I won't even want my child to be a lawyer now. So, however, we were like hotcakes. And that was a problem. And that really, really made me to be very... Like I was saying on the program that... Because in the university, then all these sisters were coming with their food flask to the brother's room and all those things. True. When we lived in the hostel. And everybody knew that you couldn't come to my room without an appointment. So it was very clear. So as a result of that, I think my wife had prayed and knew I was going to marry her, but I had no clue. I wasn't even interested. But as God will have it, she prayed. She has your old school, if that is the language. She knew ahead of me, but she did not make the move. She did not until I now knew. Actually, it was like, so somebody is even thinking about me. Okay, so I now showed interest. And of course, you know, that means I didn't have a tough job to do. So, praise the Lord. So, but the interesting thing is that she was convinced ahead of me. But she did not take the liberty to approach me on it until I became convinced. And then I now made the move, and it works. The problem with me at that time was because there were too many around me. There was really nothing that I saw that interested me. I mean, the first day she saw me. She came to Ife to see me. She was like, yay, this man is the person I'm going to marry. Because it's like, every lady that saw me on campus, and she was like, oh my goodness, who is this guy? So for me, it didn't really mean anything. Whatever sign you show, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not ready. I'm not just ready. I'm still in the university. I'm going to go to law school. I'm probably going to do my... So I'm talking about another 4 years. So why should I worry myself at this time? So that's why even when she was friendly, she was just one out of about 6 or 10 friends. So it didn't really matter to me. But until God specifically then made me away, and that was, I now started thinking, oh, okay, so maybe I should be thinking of marriage. Because when I was having all those things, and please don't get me wrong, we were all Christians. We had nothing to do with each other. We were just in the same fellowship, and we were loving the Lord. And that was how I took every relationship. And that was just it. So, but she waited until I was convinced. And I tell people about this also in the marriage. Even when you get into the marriage, you will not both travel at the same speed. it's always important to learn to wait for the other person. And that's why Paul wrote to say, when you come to the table of Holy Communion, he says, you should wait for one another. There is, in finding, there is waiting. And I use the case of Isaac. You see, when Isaac, when the servant of Abraham was going to look for the wife, this man was not all over the place, gallivating all over the place. He was in a state of waiting and meditation. And when the woman came, although he was not the one who went to procure her, immediately the woman came. Because she had been in a state of waiting, he just received. And everything worked for them. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. So from this question, we have two different opinions. Some people don't mind. Others think it's time to wait as well. But what I took from this question is, for me, I'm also the traditional person. Even if I see it, I'd rather sit down and wait. I wouldn't like to go forward because I would think that, okay, it means I'm too fast with myself. I just need to wait, and I'll sit there and relax for you to, hopefully God will speak to you, and then you will come. But yeah, we have two different views. The 21st century guy said he doesn't mind. Then it's not yours. If she's yours, you would have had an eye for her. Praise the Lord. We'd like to thank our panelists. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Tolani. Thank you, Auntie Duni. Thank you, Pastor Jose, Auntie Andrea. Thank you, Pastor Mariah. Thank you so much. You can please take your seats. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for your contributions. It's been very, very wonderful. It's been interesting. And we'd like to thank you again for your presence. Thank you for your contributions. We can't thank you enough. The time is almost up. Next on our agenda, we have prayers. So prayers for the singles and prayers for the married, prayers for everyone, really, which we'll call on Pastor Clara. Is Pastor Clara around? We'll call on Pastor Clara to please help us pray for us singles. And for the married as well, and for everyone who's here. We'll give her a few minutes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 We just want to thank God for the conversations we've had. One thing I know for sure is that before I got married, there's some conversation that I had that you probably just think is idle chat, but God is so exact. He's so purposeful that even in my marriage now, some things that seem like idle chat, it's made a difference, a big difference. So what I'm saying is that every part of today, every second, even God, you know, the record book, he knows who is meant for sitting around here. That's the God we serve. Amen? And it's that encouragement that God definitely, what he says he will do, he will do. But we only know when we look to him. I was laughing because Pastor Talani was called us to say, I would like to, if you don't mind, give you some counseling. I remember. And I know when Mr. Faye would say, men are on tight, I don't know if you were in character as Mrs. Favor, but I don't think so. It was a man, wasn't it? You were acting. But you were saying that men are untidy. And I remember Pastor Patrick was saying that he was the one who would clear things away.
And sometimes the wife will say, Mommy Foyeke will say, but I was not meant to have put that away. I still needed that. Where is it? And he will say, I'll clear her car. I'll do all these things. And we were laughing in the room. And then I look at my house. My husband does exactly the same thing. So when I want to get angry, I remember that point of the counseling. So I don't get angry. It's something that will make me just think, oh, why is he throwing things away? I actually laugh about it. So when I say that everything that you heard today is important, God indeed has a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. We'll pray from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Praise God. I'll just re-pray with the first verse and the second verse. The Bible says, I'm reading New Living Translation. Hello to our friends there. You haven't missed anything. It's good to have you. Well, let's just encourage. They tried. At least they got here. It's good to have you. All the way from Nottingham. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you. We're going to pray, if we have our Bibles, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Bible says, now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, regarding the questions we had in our baskets, regarding the questions we are asking the panel were vessels of God. Amen. Regarding that question, then he answers Paul in his own wisdom, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relationship. I said, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife. And each woman should have her own husband. Not anybody else's husband, not anyone else's but yours. Let us just agree and pray that Father King of Glory, even as we stand on your word, that word that does not fall to the ground without you doing what you say you will do. For even as our singles look up to you, they've decided to keep themselves pure. They've decided to follow your way. Thank you that hope in you does not disappoint. That you will give every man his own wife. Nobody else is left over. Nobody else's wife, but his own wife. Father, thank you that you give our singles their own husbands. The women, they will have their own. And indeed, when they meet that one, when he finds them, they will say, this is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. And it will not just be theory. They will see that it's actually real. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, because you can be trusted to keep your word, that it's time is not a matter to you, because you know the perfect time and you make everything beautiful. You are beautifying their lives. You are decorating their lives. Every single one. For there is there one who is looking to say, I cannot hold on anymore. I need encouragement. Father, oh God, encourage them. Help them that everything that we've talked about, the things you've spoken today, that they will take it on as practical. You give them the grace to live it. That it will not just be a good relaunch, but it will be a relaunch even in the way they think. It will be a relaunch in the way they walk. In the relaunch in their trust in you. A relaunch in their dependency on you. Father, I thank you, oh God, that even before we call, you hear and you already have a solution. You already know who their partners are. Father, Lord Jesus, I pray for connection. I pray for divine connection. There will be no question about should I ask or should they ask. Because you will prompt either one. And they will know whose is their own. They will recognize them. They will not mismarry. That he said none will lack a mate. And these ones, none will lack a mate. With our eyes we will celebrate with you. For the work you have done, God is surely a faithful rewarder. He will reward you. Every single one of you. Father, Lord, we thank you. Father, a tangible witness for each one. Pastor Mariah said, you gave her a word. Daddy, you gave me assurance. That kept me, that I could have even felt I could have waited longer. You gave me grace. Father, oh God, let them look up to you again. Renew that trust in you again. Renew that faith in you again. Deafen their ears from noises around them, oh God. That they will only hear you. You say, your sheep hear my voice. and they follow. As they follow you, let them find their spouse. Let them find their spouse as they follow you. Father, we bless your name for giving them the wisdom, the strength to even organize this day. I'm sure there were so many challenges that came up the way. But Lord, thank you that they have made it this far. And we can see this day manifest. Everything you're trusting God for, so shall it manifest. So shall it manifest. Nothing missing. Nothing missing. All the fullness, the fullness, the fullness, the fullness. Your marriage will be sweet. Your marriage will be enjoyable. Your marriage will be an example for others who are doubting you, for waiting on God. When they see what he does, when they see how he decorates your lives, and those who maybe already have one and they're yet to get married. Daddy, they're looking to you saying, how do we balance it? Daddy, oh God, you who introduced them in the first place. Daddy, complete it. Amen. To your glory. Amen. And us here who are already married. Their only perfection is in you. Yes. Father, help us, move us forward. Whatever we're enjoying that looks like sweet, make it sweeter. Yes. Father, the areas where we're saying, God, I need help. Daddy, you're the source of our help. We look up to you. Father, we bless your name. We are grateful for this day. We are grateful that you even knew about it before it happened. And you had great plans for this day. Daddy, every plan you have, thank you that they will be fulfilled. Father, we give you glory. We cover all by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, I'll call on Sister Tuli to give us a vote of thanks.
Thank you very much, Church. You've all been so amazing. It's been such a fantastic time. We've had a great time learning from all of you. And I just wanted to acknowledge my friends from Nottingham. I'm so touched. I'm really so touched that they made the time and made the effort to get all the way from there, and it's really a blessing. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. I'm so blessed today. And thank you all to the panel. Thank you for answering some of our annoying questions, probably questions that every single person always asks you. How do I know he's the one? You know, but we thank you for your patience, and we thank you for answering them with so much wisdom and so much humor in them as well. So we've really enjoyed time with you. Thank you. Thank you again, Pastor Tolani. Thank you to the Joseis. Thank you so much. Yeah, we are so blessed that you came to be a part of this. And to everybody who's part of this ministry, who came in today, thank you very much. Thank you for all the wisdom you've shared. Thank you for sharing the food with us and all the excitement that came with it. We are so glad that you are here today. This is the end of our service, so thank you for arriving when we are rounding up. So please enjoy the food and the drink that has been offered to you. If you have any questions about our ministry, and if you are interested in knowing anything at all about our ministry, feel free to talk to myself or the pastor of the house, and pastor of the house as well. Please, just have a great time. Thank you very much, Enid.
Thank you all. And yeah, that's the end. Please socialize, get to know one another.